This morning's message, Daniel's decision not to eat. Daniel's decision not to eat. Coming from the book of Daniel, first chapter, first through the 10th verse. If we take the introduction this morning of the lesson that we're about to teach, I think it's a little bit off the beaten path, which you hear a lot of people had preached this message, or preached about Daniel refusing to eat of the king's table. We want to read or look at this with the New Testament in mind, because we know some things were shut up to Daniel. It was shut up to his understanding, his reasoning, and his rationale that God had opened up to us, that he had revealed to us. I want to preach this one with a little bit of that understanding open up. From the book of Mark, the 7th chapter, came our reading verse. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which comes out of him, those are the things that defile a man. In this day and time, I think in the upcoming weeks, so maybe it's tomorrow or something, there's a Super Bowl or something. Is it this week, next week? Okay, I hadn't seen that, you know, 5 or 6 years or whatever. I don't follow such as that anymore or whatever. I know it's creeping into the church or whatever. And I think we need to be like Daniel, people of integrity. I don't think Daniel would have participated in such a thing as that, because along with fellowshipping, worshiping, or partaking of the things of the world, that joins you to that thing. And Daniel refused to eat of the king's table. We're going to read that. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Asphanat, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, the children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and that the end thereof, that they might stand before the king. And now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now Daniel, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and drink, for why should I see not your face is worse liking than the children, which are of the sword? Then shall you make or endanger my head to the king. Here it is, the king had taken the children of Israel captive into Judah. And he had chosen from among them certain ones that he wanted in a position of leadership. These were the ones that were charismatic. They were from noble families. They were capable of understanding the Babylonian language, of its sciences. In other words, he wanted to educate them in the world, the things of the world. Some people have that capability, and they can become leaders or whatever. A lot of them that had that capability didn't come back after they learned of that. They didn't come back out of captivity. They stayed in Babylon. There's a lot of people in the church today that are in Babylon. because their understanding is not open. There wasn't like the Daniels or the remnant that would be left. We see here where it was a bridge too far for Daniel, that they made a bridge too far. In other words, listen at what they said about the name change. Daniel and them went along with the name change. We see at another point in time where he was called Belteshazzar, and they were called by the Hebrew names. And it kind of makes me remember about on the job a couple of times, my boss's son, he would call me by another name, not the given name that my mother called me or whatever. Yes. I would answer or listen at him or whatever, but he didn't have the authority to give me another name. But I didn't have respect for him in that instance, at that time or whatever. I don't think Daniel gave any respect to him renaming them or whatever. We see whenever God refers to them in the book, do you notice that he calls them Daniel? He never changes Daniel's name. Of the people always use Daniel's name, and that he showed what the world had did. The world's going to call you names. The world will try to give you a name or whatever. They don't have that authority. Only God has that authority to name you. Each one of their names contain God in that name, at the end of that name. The world tries to indoctrinate you into their way, into what they're doing or whatever. And to fellowship at the king's table was a bridge too far. Daniel knew what that would lead to. It would lead to idolatry, sexual immorality. It would lead to eating things. And that's what people look in, but teaching this from that perspective of he refused the king's food. I don't think it was the food was the problem. The food wasn't the problem. Uh-oh. Now the preacher then came in, and people have been preaching this for years about the unclean foods and all these foods or whatever. And that's what Jesus and Paul was trying to get us to say. See, it wasn't the food. It wasn't the food. God gave the law of unclean foods and everything back in the Old Testament days as a distinction that would set his people apart from the other people. It would lead to certain sicknesses and diseases or whatever, but the food couldn't defile the individual. That was a ceremonial thing. We see now where you go to birthday parties or go to dinners and everything. What do people do? They toast the guest of honor. They toast, and this is hell, and those names or whatever. You go to different churches and everything, and people say, I'll give a toast to this person. And at those fellowships, they would be toasting the God of Nebuchadnezzar, right? They would be having this for his God or whatever in honor of those gods. And see, Daniel knew you couldn't partake of the table of God and the table of devil. See, so Daniel said, asked the eunuch, said, well, look, can I not partake of the king's food and of his table? And the eunuch, Daniel had favor with him, but the eunuch said, well, you're putting my head on the line, because if you're not of the right countenance and you're not looking like you're supposed to look, see, the food didn't have anything to do with that. And it shows where Daniel took pulse and vegetables or whatever, and their continence was better than the ones that hadn't eaten. So this is not endorsing, and a lot of preachers or teachers will tell you that, you know, about diet, and this is not endorsing a vegetarian diet now. So let us not get that portion wrong either. This is abstaining from idolatry and food offered to idols as well. Paul was talking about food that was offered to idols. See, that's what I say. It's nothing wrong with eating. And we know all foods are given to be eaten. And there's, Mark said it, Matthew said it in those books. There's nothing from without the man that entering into him can defile him. This would contradict Daniel or contradict that book if it was true that he was saying the king's food would defile him. That's why Paul was talking in the book of Romans about eating meats offered to idols, and he talked about it in the book of Corinthians. So don't try to get in about the unclean foods that Peter's seen and everything. You're not understanding the Bible. You're not understanding the Word of God, because it's no food that can defile you. That is no food eating of it. This can defile you. Now, what can defile your conscience if someone say, well, this is offered up to gods, the idols or whatever. If you notice, now a lot of days people go out, they eat sushi, they call it, raw fish. They eat steak, they eat all types of seafood. And they say, this is the foods of kings, you know. I'm able to eat this. And, you know, a lot of people get their food stamps and things. They go on to go to Tony's Seafood. They want to get them something that's their driven, their pleasures and desires to make them feel good about themselves. That's a whole nother ball game. See, that sensuality, that shows the demonicism in him that they're looking at the body. They're not all eating foods for the nourishment that the food is offering. They're eating foods for what is symbolic of what it stands for. It's like if somebody go back buy a pair of tennis shoes and they say, oh man, these Jordans or whatever. Well, you buying a name, you're not looking for a pair of tennis shoes. You probably can get a pair of tennis shoes for $40 or $50 to do the same thing as those are. But you worshiping at the throne of Michael Jordan. You worshiping at the throne of Oprah. You worshiping at whatever throne that pitch man that's advertising that product, that's where you worship it. And that's why God said, be careful, you can't eat a bow tape. So it's nothing what's wrong inherent with eating. You must eat or you will die. So it's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's nothing inherently wrong with watching the Super Bowl. But now you've made that your gods. That has become the gods of people in Christianity, as is the copycat Christianity of this world, of this nation. They drag every Trojan horse into the church. Tomorrow it'll be main people having churches. Oh, come watch the Super Bowl here. I wouldn't have a church that would intermingle the Super Bowl with watching God or praying to God. Either you want to watch football or you want to come to church. But they put it on the level where people ain't going to come to church if the game's on. So be it. You need to do like Daniel. You need to make a choice the God you're going to serve. Amen. That's what Daniel was doing. He was making a choice and he chose to serve God. On my job that I was on, the same one with that same boss that I'm telling you about, I asked him, that was making me a salesman or whatever. I said, but I don't have to go to y'all dinners and things with y'all. Can I abstain from going to y'all dinners or whatever? You see, because if a person of a certain nature or whatever, the Bible tells you know it not to eat. Eating is symbolic of fellowship. It's symbolic of breaking of bread. It's symbolic of taking of doctrine. They was trying to indoctrinate the children of Israel. That's why I said they wanted to educate it, the charismatic ones, the ones that were suited for leadership that could lead others astray. It may be someone in your family, it may be a charismatic preacher, a politician or something, that's going to lead you astray and say, oh, this is okay. That's why the churches are in the condition they are in today, because Satan is leading the churches and telling people, you can do all these things. See, football is no longer football. Football is about the individual. It's about this superstar. And they're not watching the game. Do you know a couple of years back, they had, I think it was Denver and Indianapolis or something. It was a team, let's see, Peyton Manning was on, I think it was Denver. But the other team, I'm trying to, Seattle, I think it was. Okay. Seattle against Denver. But did you know I didn't watch the Super Bowl and people talked about how horrible it was, but I did watch the first game of the season where Denver played Seattle. That was the better game than the Super Bowl was. The Super Bowl is all about hype now. You see, we try to get to things that are about hype. But see, Daniel wasn't about who you dine with. A lot of people go out and say how much they paid for a dinner, how much they paid for shoes, or how much. It's their passion, sensuality. If they feel good, if they could go out and pay $80 or $90 or $100 for a plate. They have the $10,000 dinners and things with the politicians or whatever. They feel good about spending. That gives them status of player. But Daniel, I think he didn't want to sit at the table. In other words, I don't want to have fellowship with you. I want to be like Solomon. It's better just to eat this sitting in a corner, to eat crackers, sit down with somebody else and have a peace of mind than to eat at a king's table, to eat a feast with other people, whereas I got to put on a show and that we got the knives at each other's back, and it's all about idolatry. It brings in to worshiping of your God. That's a status symbol. That makes me who I am or what I am. And Daniel didn't want to be a big wig with that or whatever. Daniel had integrity. And the whole time Daniel was in that government of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel stood apart as that people always was trying to attack his integrity. The only way they could get to Daniel, they say, would be through his religion, because he was a man of integrity. Hmm. And right now, it's going to be hard-pressed to find men in religion that's of integrity. It's hard-pressed to find women in religion of integrity. Look at Revelation Romans the 16th chapter, the 17th through the 20th verse. There are those among us who are not born again, you know. They're leaders and teachers and politicians, and they say it's a Christian nation, but they have you with that title Christian, but by eating at their table, in other words, by fellowshipping and following their doctrine. I was telling Deacon Hubbard or someone this morning about television. I said, I hadn't watched the news in so long. I hadn't followed the things because it doesn't matter. I think Saturday Night Live it would say that. It doesn't matter anymore. Why would you follow a nation that has no integrity? You see that it has to fall. So don't waste your time following these things. The Bible tells you of these things. It's just like Babel. If you notice, Daniel didn't follow the events in Babylon and what was going on. He purposed in his heart to only fellowship or follow God. Nebuchadnezzar, now he was a servant of God, even though people talked about Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar allowed this to happen, that Daniel didn't partake of his table. You know why Nebuchadnezzar was cursed away from the being and the people? He had a little self-centered pride in him. That pride of that leadership, he got carried away. But it was Nebuchadnezzar's administration who had caused this. The people under Nebuchadnezzar was corrupt. And by his fellowshipping and thing with it, God had to separate him from eating and dining and wining with them. And he sent him out there to eat grass. Let you eat vegetables like Daniel doing. You eat alone, eat by yourself, and let your fingernails grow. You get away from those people and the thing. For 7 years, for a complete number of time, you get away from all these and you can see clearly. When he didn't eat at his own table, when Nebuchadnezzar didn't do these own things, he came to him and said, read the fourth chapter of Daniel. That's the only chapter in the Bible where it's a heathen king, they call him a Gentile king. He wrote the fourth chapter of Daniel. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar. So God allowed this king to write it. He says, I glorify the God of heaven. When he got away from his own table, he was able to see God clearly. He had lost his pride. He had lost all these things. He had came to know God, and he says, I glorify God. He rules in the heavens and the earth. He set it up and he picked it down. Yes. People within the system can't see their own self. The God of this world had blinded. In the book of Romans, it says, the 17th verse, Paul talking, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and create obstacles or introduce temptations for others to commit sin, acting in ways contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Turn away from them, for such people do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. By smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting, the innocent, the naive. For the report of your obedience have reached everyone, so that it rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Watch in the church. There are sensual people. Watch in the nation. There are people that will lead you away from God But they're leading the church. They're leading the world. These are false Christs. These are antichrists. They're against God. But by you going into these churches, by you listening and fellowship and watching and following, you being deceived, you come dull of hearing because you like a goat, you eat anything. You'll eat anything. You'll listen to anybody. I listen to this preacher. I listen to, and you staring at home listening to all these jackleg preachers and you're not a child of God. But yet you quote scriptures and say you're led by God. Daniel wouldn't fool with you. There are a lot of people in the church that cause these divisions, and that's why Paul wrote, if a brother in the church be a fornicator, an idolater, a world contrary to sound doctrine, don't be with him. There are people in the church, I would tell you, stay away from them. Stay away from them, even though they're in the church with you. You better be careful. They're not born again. Judas was one. He said, I've chosen you, but one of you is a devil. So many a devil in the church. So many a devil in the churches. The word of God is something that has scriptural significance that naturally would flow from you if you're eating of the word of God. Because if you eat and it's going into you, into your stomach, into your inner being, into your mind, your heart. It says, what does the book of John, the 7th chapter and the 38th verse, when it says, if any of you thirst or hungry, if you want to eat something, you come unto me and eat and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Is the people that you fellowship and talking with, are they always consistently talking about the word of God? Are they consistently talking about some profitable, or are they talking about things of the world, things of themselves? You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Yeah. By what's coming out of their mouth, by the life they're living. That's where the power lies. That's where the power should be. Not that an idol is anything, but these things are closely bound up with demonic influences. So if these people that are getting you to eat are saying it's okay to eat this, are saying it's okay to listen at this preacher, listen at this religion, or this particular thing, he says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, for it contains leaven. You see, when you fellowship in which is working, which is in the Old Testament, they said that they gathered together to break bread. What we're doing now, we're breaking bread. We're sharing the word of God. This is the necessary food that you should eat. The word of God. That's what strengthens you. That's what gives you your health and your vitality. There are people in the church that are sitting there dying. That are sick. That has no power and no strength. Because the word is not alive to them. Their life don't have any hope for them. Look like they have a will that you don't even want to be around them because they make you tired. They've dragged you down. But there are some people who can inspire you because the word of God is alive in them. Watch those that are demonically influenced. Watch those. Defilement. When Daniel was talking about defilement, the association of the fellowship of the world is what defiles you. It wasn't the food Daniel was looking at. See, because let's read Matthew, the 15th chapter of Matthew, to show you it wasn't actually the food that was going to defile Daniel. See, Daniel was a wise person. I'll tell you about Job, the wisdom and knowledge of Job. It's in us. We just have to stir it up. You remember I say if you do the will of God, if you are do of God's word, God would start enlightening you and you would know what the will of God is and you would know those that's not walking in God's will and God's word, and he gives you a discerning, and that's what separates people from you. It gets you stronger in that you could stand with people and stand up against them. It doesn't give you a spirit of fear. It gives you a holy boldness if you partaking of God's word. That's why a lot of people, that mixture is what makes them fearful. Matthew the 15th chapter. And he called a multitude and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, he says, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into a man defileth the man. You understand that? So Daniel, see, a simile in a parable. This was a parable he had spoken. But the simile comes in a likeness of this, in a likeness of eating of food or whatever. The parallel here is of the doctrine. What comes out of you? And this, like I say, this is a hateful nation. I see Christians that hate. I see Christians that's bitter. I see Christians that are greedy, that are lascivious. All this spews from this nation, from the churches within the nation, from the religion, from the people. And see, that's what Daniel realized. The people that he was brought to Babylon with, his relatives and the people that he came with, those were the devils, and he was allowing them to be purged there. It's a lot of our relatives and people won't make it out of this world. They'll die in this world. They won't leave Babylon. They won't go back to the promised land. That's why God taken them out, because they believed in idolatry. It was a lot of them, when God told them to go back to their land, they didn't go back, because why? They loved the world and the things of the world. And that's what indoctrination does. That's what propaganda does. It brings you into a love of the world. He says, but which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest that thou that the Pharisees was offended after they heard you saying that? The politicians, the devils in the church could be offended if you tell them this. If you say this thing that was defiling them. Knowest thou the Pharisees was offended? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They shall be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. The axe is being laid to the root of the tree, and every plant that God hadn't planted will be rooted up. Anything in this nation that's not of God has to go. You will die spiritually and physically. You will see the death of them. But you will get stronger. You will get more understanding, because he says he will crush Satan right up under your feet. You will see him fall to the side. Those that criticize you, those that talk evil of you, those that mock you and persecute you and call you name, those that are cheating and are scoundrels of God and behind his back are eating at the devil's table. See, because it's God said that you can't eat at both tables. It's not me, it's God's word said you can't do both. You think you can do both. You want to be so wise, let's see you fool God. What a man soweth, that he shall reap. One day he will dig you up out of the grave, or you will stand. That I don't care if you've been burned up in a fire, you've been spread out, ashes to ashes, and spread in the sea. You will stand before God and give a deed account for the deeds done in your body. You will stand before God on that day and give account. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare us this parable. Tell us what you mean. And Jesus said, are you yet without understanding? Do you not yet ye understand that whatsoever entered in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? It goes in here and it comes out there. You go, whatever comes in here, you got a problem if you stopped up and it can't come out. It's going to come out of you. Or you have to take some medicine to get it out of you. If you get good doctrine in you, it's going to flow out of you by saying good things, by walking in the way and telling others. But if you get bad doctrine, like I say, I see it spewed out, and that's why I say I don't watch that much television, because they're spewing out this contaminated doctrine. You become dull of hearing it. You turn it off on preachers and political leaders, because that's not my Father's words. That's not what God's saying. That's why they couldn't interpret the dream. The many, many take your form. They say, go get Daniel. He'll know what that means. Because you can't even read your own father's writing anymore. You become dull of hearing. It's a lot of people you can preach all day and they won't get it. They can't get it. They've been eating at the wrong trough. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that don't defile a man. You know, Balaam told them, say, look, if you invite them to the festival of the Midianite, invite them to your church and let them see that your women are the same as their women and that they're beautiful and everything. They did that, and they went into those women. 23,000 of them died for doing that, for entering mingle. They were unequally yoked. They were defiled. If God say don't do it, don't do it. But you need to find out what God is saying in his word, because the physical word, man can't understand that. That Bible is written to a spiritual man. That's why everybody can preach out of it, but everybody can't understand. That's why Peter said, Lord, you tell us, explain to us what you're saying, because we can't understand it. God has to give you understanding. God has to give us understanding. And he gave his disciples that understanding. That's why he said, I'll send the Spirit unto you that'll lead you and guide you into all truth. If you don't have the Spirit, you won't know what we're talking about. You'll sit here and go back and say, Pastor said you can't eat this, you can't drink this. I didn't say that. Everything by God is good and nothing to be refused. But it's that old evil heart in your mind, that gossip you just not took back to your friend. You didn't understand it, and he was stupid enough to listen at you. Both of y'all will be damned.
Yeah.
Both of you. So, we noticed that days of worship, none of this stuff, and that's why Jesus talked contrary on these things. But the power of life and death lie in the words you speak. It's the words that we speak that has life or death in. So you have to watch what's coming out of your mouth. That's why he sent a preacher to preach, because you can't hear without a preacher. Now, you got jackleg preachers, you could hear them because you'll hear anything. You know, some people will sit there and watch anything come on television. Anybody? How many sit here and watch reruns? They sit there and watch reruns. There's nothing new. You done seen that 10 times. But instead of taking 20 minutes and go read God's word, you'll sit there and read, see something that you done saw 20 times. You know how that ends. And they can't rewrite that. Be worshiping one of my sons when they was a kid, sitting there watching Rocky. And during the picture of Rocky, he kept saying that Apollo Creed should get away from this guy. And I want to say to him, son, this is a movie. It's going to end the same way each time. This is a movie. That's insanity if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If your life's going down, maybe you're listening at the wrong person. God will pick your life up. God will pick your spirits up. Stop doing the same things over and over, being in that old rut. Daniel stood up. The heart of man. That's what we're looking for, somebody with heart. There's not a many of people with heart today. And you know where you can find the most harsh today? Mostly among the women. Mostly among the women. That's what some of the books are about that God puts in there. That the women stood up because of the lack of male leadership. The lack of male leadership. You know, that's why women rebel in a family or in a home or in society. It's because the men are leading them wrong. That's why you have more women politicians now, because I'm with y'all ladies. The men ain't worth it. The men are not worth it. Joab said, let the men be men. You catch any strong man, he's the one strong man. He don't want yes men. I don't want nobody just saying yes because you are a follower. I want the integrity to come out. Why are you saying this? Why do you stand up on what you're standing up on? There are a lot of women that are stronger than men. Many of them. But they're obedient to God's word. That's the only way they're going to stay strong. Leadership. I told you to read that. Look at that third verse of that chapter we're talking on, where it says, then the king ordered Asphanet, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon. See, God had caused them to take all the rich people, all the wealthy people, the people of understanding. In other words, don't go get nobody that's slow of learning. that can't understand. You know, that's what has happened in this nation. We have put the base as people as our leaders. We have men with no integrity. We have men that are adulterers. What kind of man marries two or three times? He's not a man of God. You look at any of God's leaders, those are not men of God. Consistently liars without any virtues. See, your virtue should be increasing.
Praise God, that's good.
You can't just go get anybody, and just because the people go along with it, that doesn't mean it's right. That's why they were in Babylon, is because they had went along with their leaders in thinking that they, since they were chosen by God, that they was God's church, nothing was going to happen to the temple, that God was going to protect them because they had a label, they were God's people. God said, go get them, Nebuchadnezzar. Put the eyes out of the Israeli king. In other words, Zedekiah, kill his children first and then put his eyes out, because he's broken the covenant that he swore by the Lord. You see, Christians think they're above everybody else. This nation thinks they're above every nation. And you're not above every nation. If your constitution is right, what you said, all men are created equal. Isn't that true? Wherever they be, all men should be created equal. Don't we have one father? So what makes you more than another? So, get men of understanding. Now, it had a whole lot of people. We're just talking about four out of thousands or maybe millions of people that were brought to Babylon. There are some that caved in to the administration. There are some in the church that cave in to the world, that cave in to Daniel. So Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, they were exceptions to the rule. You remember I told you, there's always exceptions to the rule. So there are some in here that would give their eye to for things of the world. What you want, money, or you want to follow the church? They're going to take the money. Demas took the money. Paul said, Demas had forsaken me for this present world, because he was an idolater. He said, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. He said, skillful in all wisdom and endowed with intelligence and discernment and quick to understand. Don't let them be slow. You know, you have to keep beating them in the head before they get it. Competent to stand in the presence of the king and able to serve in the king's palace. He also ordered Asphanet to teach the literature and language of the Chaldeans, make sure they are well versed in every branch of learning and are gifted with knowledge and good judgment. Train these young men in the language of the Babylonians. Now, you understand this, don't you? You understand what I'm preaching and teaching you. Now, he said all of them, but he didn't say that's what Babylon's intent was. But these four was the exception to the rule. Do you know, most of them melted in. They stayed in Babylon. Most of the churches today are against God. If you look at religion in the United States of America, 60 to 70% of it is against God. Christianity, I'm talking about. Those people have no integrity. That's the same ones they brought out of Babylon. They didn't have integrity. We talked about that the other night when I said Pharaoh and Abimelech told Abraham, don't come in here with this line, Abraham. That's your wife, and God told me it was your wife. Now you lying. Sometimes it's the people that's outside the church have to tell the people in the church, don't lie about this now. Yeah. Right now, that's why this nation is corrupt, because you got preachers that got mega churches, that they on every television, they look good. They got nice cars. They got big followings. Because that's what the world wants. People that can woo you away and say, look, this is how Christianity is supposed to look. And you ain't got no better sense than to believe that, because you're not born again. You don't have the Spirit of God. You don't realize that you're sensual, and the church has become sensual and devilish. These leaders and politicians that sway in you and saying that they're Christians, they're ministers of Satan, of the synagogue. God's going to fight against the church in the end, just like he fought against his people in Israel and took them away. Now, Daniel had some character, you know, because I told you Nebuchadnezzar was a rough one. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a rough one. He wasn't no chump. He was kind of like, nah, that's a hard decision. But you remember I said that they thought Kim Jong-un was going to back down and say a few things to him, and he stood up. You know, Nebuchadnezzar would kill you in a minute. Nebuchadnezzar was a type of Christ. He was a king of kings. Daniel was putting his life on the line when he went in there and told the king, I don't want to eat up your table. You know, I put a bullseye on my back when I say I don't want to eat or have fellowship with these people. I don't want to go to dinner with y'all. You tell people you're a Christian, you're going to put a mark on your back. Jesus put a mark on his back when he turned the water into wine. He said, hold on, only God can do that. Now he's called and said, you tell people you're a Christian and see, they're going to try to disprove you. Yeah, you the did that. Yeah, you the did that. You're scared. You coward. You ain't going to do it. You know, it's a lot of people that Cedric the Entertainer said on Barbershop, but it took a perspective of one of Rosa Parks that stood up on the bus and said, I ain't going to give them my seat. You know, it's a lot of people that have been lynched for less. So it took courage. You can't be no coward. The Revelation said, no cowards go enter in. You scared to stand up for yourself. You passive. It says the forceful, they take that heaven by force. You have to be strong to get in here. You have to be resistant to the things of this world. It even takes, I would respect a corrupt man that stands what he believes in more than I would trust a passive Christian that won't stand for what he believes in. Moses didn't just go in there and run Pharaoh's musicians off. If you read in Exodus and all those places about Moses standing against the physicians of Pharaoh, against those magicians and wizards and things, you only could find out in the New Testament that it says Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. The devil ain't no chump. Now, God tells you that. The devil ain't going to run from you. You hear a lot of people, we're going to cast Satan out, we'll rebuke your devil. You better leave that devil alone. That's God's devil. God had put him here. He's a servant of God. And God talks about him in Job when he talks about Leviathan. If you notice in Scripture, even the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. If God hadn't sent you, don't you go out there fooling with that devil. Josiah, one of the most godliest kings there was, he went out there fooling with Pharaoh Necho, and they killed him. And he was a man of God. God had told him he was going to go to his grave in peace. But he was disobedient to God. He interfered somewhere, and Pharaoh Necho told him, said, look, Josiah, don't stick your nose in this business. God had told me to do that. God had told me to do this. Josiah didn't listen to it. He must have thought God wasn't God of the evil man just as much as he God of the good man. God talked to who he wanted. He's God. So Daniel had a pure motive for doing this, and Daniel was in contact with God. There could have been severe judgments for Daniel doing this. And, you know, a lot of us read these stories in the Bible, and we won't stand. You know, if you won't stand up against your wife, you probably won't do great things for God. You don't stand up against your husband, against your children, against people on the job, you probably won't do great things for God. It's the little foxes that destroy the vines. If you can't stop an eating addiction, if you can't stop television in your life, if you can't stop the little things, how you gonna get out there and do great things for God? Yeah. You know, before this, now that was, you see, that was one of the first things Daniel did, huh? What was another thing on Daniel's plate? Another thing on Daniel's plate, they say, well, look, we have to get to him through his God. We're going to make a decree that you can't pray to no God. Within a certain length of time, Daniel opened the windows as usual. He could have went here. He didn't have to. But he went right before the window so they could see him, and he prayed to God. Do people see you praying? Are you scared to let your spouse see you praying? Do your children see you praying? Who knows who you are? Do you work for God where people can see that God, that you let your light so shine that men are seeing your light? Do you do that? Because they went back and say he praying, King, and you said he couldn't pray. That's when he went in the lion's den. You can't get in the lion's den if you can't control your appetites. Now, Daniel had refused T-bone steak. Daniel had refused some of the best liquor it is. Now, if you can't pass up Budweiser, if you can't pass up what all what beers out there now, all these, because Budweiser to them now is a cheap beer, I guess. So if you can't pass up some of the beer and some of the wine out there now, how you going to get in the lion's den and stay? Daniel wasn't worried about the lion's den. So Daniel had to stand first against his own appetite, against his desires, against that which he could control. See, because he didn't go in the lion's den. The king stuck his head in the lion's den and said, oh, Daniel, have the gods you serve preserve you? So he must have, he had faith that Daniel was in there. He didn't want to throw him in there. The people that was with him tried to do that. They tried to trick Daniel. But the king went there and said, Daniel, you all right? He said, I'm all right, king. God closed the lion's mouth. But to show you the lions was hungry, the people that threw him in the lion's den, they threw him and their families in there, and the lion tore them all to pieces. God could tear those people to pieces that's laying trapped for you. You pray and talk to God. You pray and talk to God. You could come out of the lion's den. He's reserving those lions for those people that are lying on you, that are lying in wait on you. Okay, so, you know, you have to watch the people. I don't think Daniel vouchsafed for all of the people. Is it people in the church that you say, I don't know how strong that brother is. I can't speak for him, but I don't speak for myself. You can't speak for everybody in the church. Look, I didn't see him, I didn't operate. He don't have no faith. Huh? Do you know people or see people lying? That's why he told Gideon, look, you go down there, you got 32,000 people. Ask them how many of them scared. It's a lot of scared people in the church. Out of that 32,000, 22,000 went back. They were scared. It wasn't but 10,000 left. So the church was whittled down some. But look, let me see how many in the church that are alert, that trust God. You take them down and see who lap water like a dog. It wasn't but 300 could do that. You go there and see who's attentive in church, who ain't falling asleep in church, who's paying attention, who's praying, who's walking in the word of God, who's watching what's coming up them. Because Jesus did that in the garden. He said, you couldn't stay woke with me 1 hour. You went to sleep, you couldn't pray with me 1 hour. If some people can't hang in the church, if you can't sacrifice the little change you make, if you can't sacrifice $10 or $15 to the Lord, I don't think you're going to be able to sacrifice $15,000 to the Lord. Why would he give you to be able to pay tithes off of $1 million if you can't pay tithes off $20? Mm-hmm. Can he trust you in the little things? You remember when he gave out the talents, he said, he which is faithful in the least is faithful in the most. David's brother said, look where those few sheep you had. You notice that David was loyal with just a few sheep before God set him over his whole flock of all his people? God's going to test you in the small areas before he puts something big up on you. He had prepared Job before he said Satan and say go try Job. He already had prepared Job in the furnace of affliction. Job couldn't fail. So Daniel said, me and these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Oh, he said, no. Hananiah. He used their names, the God-given names. Couldn't use the Hebrew names. I mean, he couldn't use the Chaldean or the Babylonian name. Notice that he used their Hebrew names, what God called them. Because everybody that's in the church, not for you. Everybody in the church is not for God. They're not able to stand. These three, we don't know where Daniel was. We don't know what happened to Daniel. But when Daniel wasn't around, look, their leader ain't there. Let's try him by itself. They made a golden statue and say, who bow? But those three Hebrew boys say, look, you can throw us in that fire if you want to, but we're not going to bow down and worship. We're not going to eat at your table. We're not going to bow, we're not going to bend. They threw him in the fire. Threw him in the fire. See, that trial of eating came before they went through the fire. A lot of people, I died for God. What do you mean you died for God? You're dying for yourself because you can't even stop eating for God. You can't go to church for God. If it rains, it's too wet, I can't come to church. It's too cold, I can't come to church. This happening, I can't serve God. So if you can't serve God in the little things, how are you going to serve him on the major thing?
Amen, you're right.
So they had to first deny the king's food before they went in the fiery furnace. Now the king, like I say, Nebuchadnezzar knew about God because he stuck his head down again and looked in the oven. The men who had threw him in there died. They got singed burnt up. He said, you know what? Didn't we throw 3 men in the fire? I see 4. Now, how many of y'all done saw God before? Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, that 4th one looked like the Son of God. Mm. So he must knew what the Son of God looked like, didn't he?
Yeah.
That 4th one looked like this. God will go with you in the fire.
Amen.
But you got to be and took the little steps with it.
Yeah.
You got to be and live this little stuff for me. You know, we don't realize that all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. I watch football games with my children. Sometimes we do this and do that. So there's nothing wrong with watching the Super Bowl. It's nothing wrong with that. I'll watch a good game with anybody, but not with an idolater. Not with somebody that don't understand the game. You physical, you're not looking at the game. How many times you used to watch the game or watch football at the end, they would walk off shaking hands and they would be together and all that. You don't hear sportsmanlike conduct anymore. You hear them belittling, berating their opponent, how much one's getting paid or whatever. That's no sportsmanship in football anymore. There's no integrity. It's only franchise player. Used to be the team won this. But now it's focused on that one guy. It's focused on some superstar that everybody worshiping, that they'll pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for that jersey, for that from that one person. You think that you could win a Super Bowl without an offensive guard, an offensive tackle? You watching the game, you don't know nothing about football. If you don't realize, if that guard or tackle hadn't opened up that hole, you got a problem. You got a serious problem if that linebacker don't make that tackle. See, we don't think about the little things that we say necessity. It takes those trainers when you on the sideline and you catching spasms and charley horses. That trainer's the one rubbing your muscles and helping you. All that's part of the team. The water boys is part of the team. See, every person in this church camp, but you know what? People got respect of preachers. That's what Paul was saying. That this preacher and that. Well, how about the little people? How about that woman that's putting in a couple of dollars? How about the widow that's putting in the 2 mites? All that goes to the church, doesn't it?
Yes.
See, Daniel was looking at the little things. He was looking at the fellowship of the thing. Was it idolatry? Was it breeding idolatry? Let's look at that in Revelation. He says, I know where you dwell, a place where Satan sits enthroned. You are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who Satan killed among you. But I have a few things against you. Now, I've seen Satan come into church, and he killed some of the saints. He says, now, I know you're faithful, but I got a few things against you. You need to get fine-tuned. Hold fast that you have. But there are among you in the church those who are holding corrupt teaching, a doctrine. They cause you to eat that doctrine of Balaam, the teaching of Balaam. They taught Balaam to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, enticing them to eat things that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality. Now, this is the book of Revelation he's talking about. So when he says food offered to idols, we see that appearing in the New Testament. And we know when he told Peter that nothing's unclean of itself. So he wasn't talking about the food. He was talking about people in the church. He says, all of you are clean, but not all. One of you is a devil. Somebody hadn't been washed by the word of God. He says, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. There are some people not allowing God's word to go full effect in their lives. They're still eating at the table of devils. And you can't eat at the Lord's table in the table of devils. Man can't separate that. God can. That's why he said, you let the wheat and tare grow up together. Let them all be in the church. I'll separate them at the end. I'll separate them. I'll send false preachers and things to them and pack them out the door. You'll have hundreds of thousands in one coliseum. But that's the wheat may be gathering together in that smaller barn. Because he said, you gather my wheat over here and gather the tares together over here. We're going to burn that whole church up. That's what Jehu did. He said, look, we're going to have a festival unto Baal. And everybody went in there. He burned the church up. He burned the church down. He also talked about the church at Thyatira, which had women preachers. They had the spirit of Jezebel in that, seducing spirit. So don't go overboard because I said women had the integrity, because that's what this Me Too movement is, these women movement. Some of them getting close. You know, with the feminists, there's always devils among them too. So we're not making this a gender bias everything. Everybody that can claim harassment don't believe that they wasn't out there dressing lascivious or having temptation too. Okay? So he said to them, I know your deeds, your love and faith and service and patience and endurance, and your last deeds are more numerous and greater than the first. But I have this charge against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and she teaches and misleads my bondservants, so they commit acts of sexual immorality, eat food, sacrifice to idols. I gave her space to repent, to change her inner self and her sinful way of thinking, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality and refuses to do so. I'll throw her and her children in a bed of sickness, and I'll kill them all. You don't play with God. You have to be perfect and not portion. You have to walk in separation. In other words, you consecrated to God. That's why it says, come out from among them, and I'll receive you. Be ye separate. You don't want to be separate. You want to hold on to the world and hold on to God. Choose you this day the God that you will serve. Know those that labor among you. So we will close with Philippians. The third chapter of Philippians. The Apostle Paul, we'll read that whole verse. The whole three or four verses. I don't mean to say that I'm already achieved these things or that I already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. He's like Daniel. He was purposed on God. His heart was set on God, forgetting about the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, pressing to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Let all those who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you agree on some points, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold to the progress we've already made. You have to pattern your life after the examples of the apostles, he said. Follow me as I follow Christ. And this is a warning that he wraps up in that. He says, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross. They're enemies of Christ. Whose faith is destruction, whose God is their belly. Their worldly appetite, their sensuality, their vanity, whose glory is in their shame, who focus their mind on earthly and temporal things. We're citizens of heaven. Our mind should be on God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. But don't seek those things. You stay away from people that are material-minded and they're like goats. They'll just eat of anybody's table. They'll eat of anything. You know how to get a crowd in today? Say it's free. If you say something's free, they will get it. Even if they can't use it, they'll go get it because it was free. Something that they don't have to make a sacrifice for. Something that they have to deny themselves. He said, deny yourself. I deny myself the company of pleasure of some people sometimes. He says, I buffet myself. In other words, you have to have some sort of mechanism in you to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after Christ. You can't follow the crowd. That's the broad way of destruction. You need to be in conversation with God and purpose in your mind that you will follow God in His Word. You have to purpose that. Daniel was purposed on this, and that I can't tell you enough that the mind, that's what receives God. That's the only thing that can understand God. And that's what He wants, the renewing of your mind. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things, the lust of the eyes, that's how Satan is entering many of people. And they'll give up everything that they have to get those things. To put worldly things on your mind. When somebody tell me about things of the world, I say, well, look, I'm not worried about those things. God's going to take care of me. I have faith and trust in God. I don't have faith in this system or this world system. My faith and trust is in God. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord God.